welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two games by the people for the people and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Glauber.
And I'm Brayton Cameron.
And this week we are doing Slime Rancher and Emily is Away.
Yeah.
Some good games.
Yeah, I like them both. Spoilers.
let's go ahead and jump straight into Slime Rancher since that one's sandboxy. It doesn't have really a story for us to spoil.
Yes.
Whereas Emily is Away is all that. So, so Slime Rancher, it came out, you know what?
I think
it says January 14th, 2016, but it's been in early access and it's still in early access. So,
yeah, I think I saw something about August is when they're supposed to be officially releasing it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I know there was just a big update right before we started playing that added a new area that I didn't get to.
Yeah.
So it is getting continually updated with a lot of content. I saw a cool post actually from the developer someone shared on my Tumblr of like the first kind of alpha of it that was just like real basic 3D objects, and now it's this really cool, pretty graphical game. It's a sandbox first person slime ranching game.
There are a bunch of adorable slimes. Let's go back a step.
Sure.
You play a character named Beatrix who is in a place called Far Far Ranch, I think.
Yes.
And your job, basically, your way of earning money and surviving is to herd up some slimes, put them into pens, feed them, and collect their plorts?
Their plorts, yeah.
Yes, which is essentially their poop.
Yep. Every time they eat, they will drop a special little gems based on what kind of slime they are. And there's many different kinds of slimes. Mm-hmm. And those can be dumped into this big machine that has the current exchange rate for the plorts, which changes day to day.
Yeah.
Some have more or less value, mainly depending on the rarity of the slime. Or the difficulty to keep them raised.
Yeah.
It has a day-night cycle. So every day you're just going out and collecting slimes or collecting plorts or collecting food and building up your ranch to help you better not have to run out and catch everything in the wild and do more stuff at your farm itself and breed them. Or not really breed them, but feed them and get a nice collection going.
Yes. I guess, is that the end goal is to make your ranch self-sustaining?
I'm not sure what the sort of end game is.
That was part of the issue that I had with the game is that, like, the game aesthetically is amazing and it's really adorable and it's really fun to play. But after a while, I'm just like, what am I even doing? I had that same feeling that I get when I play Sims, like, my Sims now needs 18 friends in order to improve at his job. Like, what am I even doing?
there doesn't seem to be any ultimate real end goal here, other than just buying up all of the land nearby that you can to give you more farms and more plots to produce more stuff.
Yeah.
There's also a lab I haven't unlocked that provides further researching into stuff.
Right.
It definitely has a sim feel to it in that there doesn't seem to be kind of a total end goal. Just how in depth do you want to get into the whole fiasco of raising slimes?
Right. And as soon as I found out there were slimes that looked like cats, I wanted to get pretty far into it.
Yeah.
One of the neat mechanics of the game is that if you put a couple of slimes, the two different slimes that are the same, close to each other, they'll eat each other's plorts and become hybrids.
Yes.
And that could be really helpful for when you're wanting to, for example, pink slimes will eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, you know, let's say you don't have any vegetables, so you can't actually get rock slimes to eat anything.
Right.
You can't get them anything to eat so that they can't give you more plorts. You can get them to like breed if you want.
Yeah, and that's kind of the best way to get some plorts, it seems, because then every time you feed them, first of all, they'll take the food of the primary one, so you can use that to more easily get the plorts of more specialized diet one. And and every time they eat now, especially if you give them their favorite food, it seems they will give you both plort types.
Yes.
So a pink bread with a tabby will give you a pink and tabby plort every time they get fed. But there's a big risk involved in all of that, because if a third plort manages to come their way, they turn into horrible muck that destroys everything.
Yeah, so like tar spelled with two R's.
Yeah.
And that's like the thing about this game is that it's really hard to die.
Yeah.
Well, okay, with one example, and I'll talk about it in a second, but and the tars are the most dangerous thing. And sometimes, like, I've run into situations where I've been in an area and it's day and it turns night, and then like the phosphorescent slime show up, and all of a sudden there's like 9 different plorts and it's just tar city.
Yes.
And they will come after you and attack you, and it can be tough to survive. But
yeah, they're sort of the one thing that is actively out to get you.
Yeah. When you're exploring, you do run into aggressive slimes occasionally, but you just shoot food at them and then they're fine.
Just throw some food at it. They're all nice again.
It's just like dogs, I guess. I will say I did run into this issue when I started it up to play it for the first time. There's a hill in like the first area that was totally glitched out. Every time I tried to go up the hill, I just fell straight through the world and died.
Oh, no.
So luckily there's a side path to get around that hill, and I kept trying to do it, you know, and I kept doing it that way, but I sometimes would forget and just fall through the world.
Run right through.
Yeah, so the game's a little buggy still, even though, but it is early access. You have to expect that sort of thing.
Yeah. I luckily did not run into that, but yeah, it is kind of expected. And actually that brings up, like, I think one of the more fun parts of the game for me is actually the like, movement mechanics are actually really fun to get around, and kind of they hide stuff up in like crevices, and they kind of expect you to climb all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't, you know, from the get-go isn't super obvious because there are clearly defined paths, but you can actually access areas that you would technically need a key to get to if you climb hills right.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be pretty fun just to use some slimes to your advantage to bump you up to a place you weren't you know, quote-unquote intended to get to.
Right. And, you know, early on, you can unlock a jetpack, which is really cheap.
Yeah. And yeah, that's needed for some of the movement stuff, too, because your jump isn't going to get you very far in a single bound. But if you can get a little bit of hover there, you might be able to get somewhere you couldn't otherwise have gotten to.
Did you, Nick, when you were playing, did you run into any Gordos?
Yes. Yeah. I unlocked 2 Gordos.
Yes.
One was the first pink one you run into, is off to the left of the beaten path there.
Yeah.
He's pretty easy to feed because there's his favorite fruits right next door. And when you feed him enough, he gives you a key that'll help you unlock a path to another area to then further explore. And then I also fed the first tabby one that you is kind of at the end of the path, right around. I think that one just moves some land around to help something get more accessible, but it doesn't give you a key.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't. I never had enough meat to feed the tabbies. even though I had a chicken ranch, like my slimes would just jump out and eat the chickens.
Yeah.
I should have put them on the other side of the ranch, but it's too late. So I did the first one, the pink one, and then I found the phosphorescent one and shot them full of cube berries.
Nice.
And it's just great that you find these super big fat slimes and you just shoot food into their mouth, because the closer you get to them, the bigger their mouth gets.
Yeah.
You just shoot food into their mouth until they get like a crazy eye, sick look on their face and then explode.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this a good thing?
Yeah, the whole thing is very cute, but you do terrible things to these slimes while they're smiling at you.
Yeah,
if you have excess slimes, like too many slimes around, you just throw them off a cliff. Like, that's what you do.
Or you can buy an incinerator and shoot them into that.
Which, I mean, they just pop out again the next morning. So everything resets in the next morning. As soon as you go to sleep and wake up again, everything's back to normal. So all of the tars that had been created, all the slimes are reset back to normal. So, you know, the world is kind of your oyster each day. Mm-hmm. And and nothing you do has permanent consequences.
Yay! Just like it was intended. So one more aspect of the game that we didn't mention is that there's like a like an exchange, like mini game, if you want to call it that. It's like kind of like a series of never-ending fetch quests where you just gather whatever an NPC wants you to gather, you shoot it into the machine, and then they give you a reward.
Yes. So it's essentially a way to get resources or slimes that you otherwise don't have access to with your current situation or don't want to make the trek. Like sometimes lands are just so far out there that, you know, I don't want to go get a radioactive slime by traveling way the hell out. And it happens to be on trade today if I just throw some chickens in there. So
I got all these chickens, apparently.
I mean, it's a real chill, enjoyable game. It's a nice thing to play when, you know, night's fallen and you're just trying to get sleepy and want something to occupy the mind and hands. I feel like it's a lot, it's similar in vein to, you know, a Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley. Like it's just, you know, kind of mostly monotonous tasks, but, it's fun and cute.
Yeah. And so the exploring is fun. I thought the movement was pretty good. Like I said, I had some problems with the bugs, but other than that, like really solid, really fun. And the music is simple and charming.
You know, this is another one of those games that I turned down the music pretty quickly. And like, it's fine, but I just turned it down because it's a perfect game to have background stuff on.
Yeah.
You know, my friends are playing PUBG, so I'll just turn that on in the turn that on in the background and watch that while I'm playing. But yeah,
all right.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some Emily's Away.
Emily is Away is, I don't know, would you call this like a visual novel?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's a visual novel that's set entirely in AIM chat.
Yeah, not by name.
AOL, Instant Messenger. This is like a very silly clone of it. And there's...
Yes.
And it takes place over 6 chapters, is that right?
Yes.
And each chapter is a conversation that you're having with Emily, who is your friend.
Yes.
And, it starts off it's your senior year in high school, and it takes you... 5 years into the future.
Yes. Correct. So yeah, it's you and Emily chatting. There's all of the typical high school AIM stuff. You and I are both the perfect age for knowing exactly what's going on here. Everybody's got their own. You have a friends list that you can see everyone's profile, which all have song lyrics and are colored and have little assy arts. And everyone's got an avatar of their favorite current movie or band
or whatever is whatever AOL was selling at the time.
Yeah, right.
I think it was always free, but you know, it was like promotional.
Yeah,
you could get, you know, like Coke or something, right?
I sure love Coke. Let's make that my avatar.
Yeah.
So the game essentially just plays out as a multiple choice selection of how you want to respond to what Emily's saying to you. And you know, gives you a little preview of what the message could the tone of the message might be. And
it's a little bit like kind of a Mass Effect choice where you pick the thing and usually they say an exact thing. Like if Emily signs on, says hi, you have the choice between like hey, hello, and like what's up,
right?
And they'll sometimes say literally that and then also some other things. So it is kind of, it's not as prescriptive,
right? It feels very very Telltale to me. Like sometimes the messages you choose, though, you'll get a little Emily will remember that little message at the bottom, which is incredibly Telltale, and it plays out in a similar way to a Telltale game, where it's all about the choices you make and sort of the path that takes you down and influences future conversations.
For example, Emily remembered that I like Coldplay, but it never came back up again. And I thought, like, later I chose, because each level that you do, you get to choose your AIM icon, your little avatar. And I chose I chose a cover of a Coldplay
album.
And I thought she'd say something, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, it seems to not. She doesn't make mention of your avatar, but that would have been a cute little bit.
Yeah.
And we didn't say this is a free to play game on Steam.
Yes.
There's a option to purchase the support for the developer. mm-hmm. In various tiers. I don't think they affect the game. It looks like they might have, like, based on just the items that show as available, it might influence the window style of the aim window you're looking at.
Oh, but that's fun.
I don't know if it actually does, but that's how it's styled in the in the thing. And yeah, this was released November 20th, 2015, and there's a sequel that I believe has just come out last month. So
yeah, I saw that as well. And that actually is not free to play, right?
That one is not free to play.
It's like $5 or something.
Yeah, it's still pretty cheap. And, you know, we're in the middle of a summer sale right now. Nope, this one isn't on sale. But
okay.
$5, overwhelmingly positive on that one as well. Yeah. Very highly reviewed little stories. So
can we talk about the controls for a second before we get into spoiler town?
Oh, Jesus. Yes, please. I can't believe I forgot. Yes. Please
talk about it. Every time you press a key, like it's unfortunately monotonous that you're like trying to do predictive typing on what this person who isn't you that you're pretending to be is going to say.
Right.
And that's how the controls work. Like you have to hit keys. And it seemed to me that it worked better if I hit about the right key.
Really?
Like, maybe I was just imagining that.
I think you might have just been imagining.
Okay.
Because I just slammed ASD over and over again.
Yeah, it is kind of annoying because you want it to go a little bit faster, but you have to sit there and type things.
Yeah.
So in order for your message to get on the screen, you have to type or you have to hit a button for each character, which includes your character screwing up spelling.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it sometimes gets infuriating. I was just like, just be done.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish there was an option to just to auto type. I don't really need that, but the story is good, and and we will talk about that in a spoiler section here, because all of the content of this game beyond what we just talked about is the story of it, and we don't want to spoil this for you guys if you haven't played it. But it's free to play, and it's good, and it takes maybe 30-45 minutes to get through.
Yeah,
so.
I think I got through it in a half hour, and that's with me kind of messing around.
Yeah.
For the first run, but I'm sure you know you could play multiple times. I didn't.
I did not.
But we'll talk about what our runs were like.
All right. Briefly, real quick, some admin stuff. You know, best way to support the show: Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV. There you can throw us a couple bucks a month. We're changing things up come July 1st and reorganizing the reward structure, mainly related to some of the other shows on the network. But you'll want to take a peek and see how those are going when that all comes out. But if you do like the show or any of the shows on the network, that's the best way to support us. We are completely listener supported, ad free, all that good stuff. And of course,
except for this ad for Teenage Dirtbags.
Teenage Dirtbags is ad supported entirely.
It is entirely ad supported.
There is no Patreon money goes to that because it makes so much money from all the advertisers that it's simply unfair for us to share any of the Patreon funds.
Yeah, that's true.
And the best sponsor clearly is NixPix, but
which it's been a long time. You should do some NixPix.
I need to do some NixPix. I mean, you know, every 2 weeks people get to hear my picks on games, but
it's true.
The rest of the picks that are sorely missing from the network right now.
Yeah.
Ratings and reviews on iTunes. Tell your friends about it. Let us know if you have any games you'd like us to play from facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or at Comrade Podcast. Mm-hmm. And to come join the Slack. It's the best way to talk to us. You can get there by Patreon, and that way you can very much recommend games, and there's lots of conversation about whatever the kind of indie game of the week is. I think that's about it.
Cool.
Catch us in a couple minutes if you haven't played Emily as Way. You want to end it here. If not, come hear what our thoughts are on the story in just a little minute. Let's talk about the story. So
I tried so hard not to hook up with Emily.
Yeah, you know what? I did too. It takes a while before the game is like clearly about there being an interest between the both of you.
Yeah,
because you're not playing yourself. You're playing playing a person, right?
You kind of get that right at the beginning because it's like, are you going to go to this party? And then it presents you with this like, do you want to make this a potential love interest like option?
Right.
Where it's like, oh, you know, she says it wouldn't be fun without you. Then that means maybe she likes you. Maybe you like her. I don't know.
Right.
So I went to the party anyway. Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to the party, but I did. I was at the beginning, like, I played it very much like real life in that I didn't want to assume. Right. So.
Right.
So yeah, it forces you into that eventually, but at the start of the game, you guys are high school buddies, and there's obviously some form of interest growing there.
Yes.
Between both of you.
Yeah.
And you can kind of force the issue as to how hard you want to push that or not right from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah. I, of course, did not push the issue.
Yeah.
I was just like, you and I are friends. Like, I made it a point to eventually you come up, you go to different schools. I went to engineering school. Where did you go to?
Yeah, I also went to engineering
school. Oh, wow. We did like the same
thing. We did the same playthrough.
I chose to make Emma my friend.
Yes, me as well.
Okay. So it put me in a weird situation in that, like, I know personally, I've been in a similar situation where, like, my friend in college has been like, can I come up and visit? I'm really vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, cool, come up and visit. We'll just hang out and we will not sleep with each other. And then I could stop that because I'm a human being.
Right. And the game doesn't allow you to.
Yeah. But
you go to college, you go to separate schools, and she gets through a bad breakup and wants to come up and visit.
Mm-hmm.
Which you do. And during that visit, the one thing I didn't choose, and I don't think this game has like really alternate endings. I think it's just kind of, you know, you choose the way it kind of gets to where it's going.
Yeah.
But there is an option to omit alcohol.
Which is the one I did.
And you did.
Yeah.
I'm interested. So what, because in mine, it was like, you know, we had a little bit to drink and then things got weird.
No, she's like. The thing that bothered me the most is that, like, she's like, it all seemed like it was really planned out and set up.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
We were playing with, you know, we were hanging with your friends, and then all of a sudden we were intimate. And I was like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the game doesn't kind of allow the route that we were going towards.
Yeah, which I have a feeling that, like, you're kind of pushed into that no matter what.
But it is the story, like, that's the whole story of the game. If you don't. So you guys end up sleeping together, right?
Yeah.
And it's weird and awkward, and she was uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And that estranges your friendship.
Yeah.
And it continues on the next year. You're kind of trying to stay friends, but she's clearly gone distant. And the last year is the first time that you message her first.
Yeah.
Instead of her messaging you first, and she is clearly beyond
not interested in talking to you at all.
Yeah. She's dumped the entire attempt at friendship there at that point.
Yeah.
And that's the story of it.
Which I liked, honestly. Yes. Like, I got to the point where you know, because it gets really awkward at the end where everything you're asking is just like, what's new? How's your weekend? Doing anything fun? What about this? And you're like just prying and prying and prying. And the second it comes up with like a goodbye option, I took it.
Well, yeah, you can kind of just keep going on those. And this brings an interesting point we didn't bring up a lot. Well, you mentioned it briefly, but there's a lot of times where the character starts to type something kind of really... maybe a little bit more forward, especially in the earlier game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, backspaces it out and type something a little more universally friendly, right?
Which, like, I liked.
I think that was kind of the most human thing this game puts into this character is. One of the lines specifically I remember was, he was like, he wanted to say, you're amazing.
Yeah, and then change it to you're an amazing person.
You're an amazing person. And that little tweak is just so perfect.
Yeah.
That's such a really good bit of writing there.
I know.
But the end one is where it gets real bad. The last year, the character so badly wants to just say, is this it for us? Is there any chance of a future? Like, he wants to, like, say, I'm still interested, but can't muster up the courage to actually be blatant about it, and so they keep changing to friendly, you know, conversation,
just like very mild.
See any good movies lately? Yeah, just small talk out the ass until you finally given and say goodbye to someone who's clearly not interested in talking anymore.
And that is, I mean, it's appropriate because that's like the perfect age for that too, where it's,
oh, yeah.
Like I tried to be friends with my friends that were, you know, in high school while I was in college, and they slowly slipped away.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got to, you know, being done with college, that was it. Like I didn't keep in touch with them. Like I have very few friends of mine that are my friends from high school on my like Facebook page, for example.
I have a lot of them, none of which I talk to. There's
right.
There's two, like I had two friends from high school that I continued talking with for any reasonable amount of time afterwards, and neither of them I talk to all that much anymore. You know, one every once in a while we have a similar taste in games and stuff, and he lived out here in Portland for just a brief stint, and yeah. Everyone else has just, you know, completely fallen off, because that's a huge part of like growing up and getting out, is that this was a forced group of people that that of course you guys made friends because you had to, right? Like
yeah.
It was sink or swim with these people, and now you're out in the greater world and there's a ton of people you interact with all the time.
Yeah. Oh, did you just out of curiosity.
Yeah, please.
With the Emma storyline, did you have her date Mike?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, that's what I did too. I just thought I tried to make my character as pathetic as possible at the end. And I was like, oh yeah, my only two friends started dating each other, and now I have no friends.
No, now I have nobody.
The only friend I have is a chat window that I slept with once.
Yep.
And now she hates me.
This is a really good, it gets us some deep feels that I think are pretty universal. I enjoyed it a lot.
I liked it. I thought it was really great. It was short. It was like the perfect length. And I want to go back through and play it again and try to be like, to do like the renegade route and just be a jerk the whole way and see what happens. But
yeah.
Yeah.
You should be the jerk who hates everyone else too, because you have an option to call everyone out as being assholes.
Being a dick. Yeah. I mean, that's like the third chat you can send. It's like, Tom's a dick. That Brad guy that you're trying to date, he's a dick too.
I think I call him a dick and then she ended up with him. And then I had to like backtrack and be like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. I think I really want to get to the point where I'm just lying to her, because like you can say like nothing will keep us apart, and then, you know, like I think that was the first like Emily will remember this. And I just, there was an element of that felt sinister to me.
They like, always do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's going to come back up in some sort of like play Misty for me thing where I'm going to get stabbed in the face by Emily reaching through the computer, which I don't want.
No. Hey.
Yeah.
I think that's about all I got to say about Emily. We might check out Emily's away too at some point, but yeah. I wanted to ask you, what do you want to do in the future? So we have an idea for our next episode, right?
Yeah. I know we picked one game already.
And I think, yeah, well, yeah. I want you to play some PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds with me.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a lot of fun. And I think we should record it and get videos up.
Okay.
Because we haven't done a video comrade in a while, and those are good.
Yeah.
And I think for our potato game there, you've played a lot of that, what's that mobile clicker game?
Realm Grinder.
I installed that today and got that going. So I think that's a good pairing there.
Yeah, that sounds great. Talk to me after the show. We'll talk about the wiki and stuff.
That sounds great. Because I've just been jumping into it and I'm lost, but it's pretty good so far. However, there's also a Steam sale going on right now, so it's a good time to plan out what we want to do next.
Oh yeah, good point. Well, I know we just got Owlboy, so I'd like to do that.
That's a really good idea.
Let's see, what else have I picked up lately?
Yeah, is there anything that's
A smaller game called Turmoil? Sounded
Turmoil,
good. And that's you're playing an oil baron in the old west.
All right. That sounds great.
It seems like a real simple, straightforward game.
You know what? I think I actually got that already from somewhere. So I haven't played it, but yeah, I'm up for that.
I know we got Punch Club as well. I wanted to check out.
Punch Club does sound interesting. There's some good stuff on sale right now, too. Some stuff that's gotten a lot of big backing behind it. There's the Ori and the Blind Forest I've been thinking about for a while.
Yeah, wasn't there a new version of that just released?
I think they did like an updated version where like the complete edition or something, you know, yeah. Definitive edition, I think is what it is.
Yeah.
And then I've been hearing a lot about Hollow Knight. I don't know if that's going to make its way other places in the network.
Yeah, I know. Gary and Cole, I think, played it for
Bonfire Side Chat.
Yeah. So I think that's already been covered if not.
Okay. See what there was it something mean else
we
I
can't
know.
Do it.
No, definitely not. And we very well might, but I'm just trying to see what's been poking out at me. I know there was one other game at least. Is there anything that's you haven't quite bit the bullet on yet or anything that's
Yeah, I'm looking at my list right now. Probably Stars and Shadow.
I'm not even familiar.
Stars and Shadow is a 4X.
Okay.
The space game.
Sure.
Let's see. I put Feel the Snow on my list.
You dive deep, man. I don't know any of these.
These are just things that pop up. Oh, Domina looked really cool too, and that's only $5 right now too.
Sweet. Let me see what I've got on my wish list here. Actually, I've got way too much stuff on my wish list.
Yeah, I mean, I've got 60 something games, and it's enough that I don't know what I'm doing.
I think I've got 80 on mine. let's see. We probably don't need to do Convoy since we just did FTL.
Yeah.
Curious Expedition is supposed to be good.
Yeah, I have Curious Expedition, so that's cool.
So that'd be worth checking out. There's Everything. Have you seen that game
oh,
yet?
Oh, I've heard of it, but I haven't. That's where you can play like as a rock and stuff like that. Right?
You can play as literally everything, yeah. Yeah, it's a game by the same guy who did Mountain, David O'Reilly. I don't know if you saw that.
I tried to play Mountain and I got real bored.
It's not really a game. It's like a desktop toy.
Right.
This seems like a little bit more of a game. And David, like I'm in love with David O'Reilly. He did the best episode of Adventure Time ever.
Okay.
Let's see. What else is on here?
Let's see. What other games? I have a Tengami. Is one of the games that I own that I haven't played yet.
Dead Cells, I've been hearing a lot about Dead Cells, but it's, I think, early access still. And it seems like a game I won't play once I play it once. So I might wait for, like, it looks really good, but it's like a 2D Souls platformer.
Why don't we do SteamWorld Heist sometime?
Because we should have do SteamWorld now, right? Heist. Yeah, SteamWorld Heist is something that a lot of people recommended too. All right, I think that's enough to get us going. We'll figure out what we want to do with those and make it happen. But you guys got to see the process. The process is screaming games at each other and saying, oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. How about this one? Okay.
Okay. All right. So I think that's about it. And thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.